You're listening to Agriculture Today. We're glad to have you aboard, as always. And for starters, we get into the cattle market scene, this time with livestock economist Darrell Peel of Oklahoma State University. As we typically do, Darrell, we'd like to review last week's market action. First of all, the Fed cattle trade, again, ill-defined at the tail end of the week, but generally a market that's trying to get its footing under it and to stabilize. And is that how you characterize it?
Yeah, I think so. For a couple of weeks now, for sure, it's looked like this Fed cattle market is trying to find some footing, you know, coming out of these summer lows. And we would expect, you know, all else being equal, that we would see this market pick back up a little bit as we go into the fourth quarter. It's been a bit of a slow process. You know, Fed cattle markets and box beef markets are kind of tied in tandem right now and both kind of struggling the same way. So, you know, I really think it's happening. I think this Fed cattle market will put together, you know, a little bit of recovery here, but it's been a slow process.
You mentioned boxed beef. You might recap what's happened the past week, noting that it too is trying to find its way forward.
It has, you know, on a day-to-day basis, the choice box beef will be up a little bit and then off a little bit. It's been kind of a, you know, up and down thing with no real big movements at all in about the last week or 10 days. Again, trying to stabilize, I think, and really position itself for a bit of seasonal recovery as we go into the fourth quarter.
What would we normally expect for boxed beef as we would head into the fall in terms of trend? Would it be fair to anticipate this market going higher?
You know, we actually do. The seasonal pattern for boxed beef is to move a little bit higher in the fourth quarter. You know, we think of the fourth quarter as having a lot of holidays, which are not always real strong beef demand times. But seasonally, we see lower production, lower beef supplies in the fourth quarter of the year as well. So we typically do see the boxed beef market move a little higher. And again, in the current environment, that will be a key to the Fed cattle market probably also moving a bit higher.
But you note a bit higher. We're not talking about a surge to the upside necessarily, are we, typically?
No, I don't think we're looking for a huge move up. You know, if we hold in this roughly 105 level for live cattle, we'll probably take them back up around 110 to, you know, maybe towards 115. Box beef, kind of the same relative kind of a move as we move forward from here.
You are closely tracking, as you usually do, the choice to select spread in the market. You say that it's unusually narrow right now. What's the story on that?
Well, you know, it's not uncommon to have kind of a second low. The most pronounced seasonal low in choice select spread happens early in the year in February or March, and we had that this year. And then it goes up, but it's become more common to have kind of a second dip down in the late summer time period. And we've done that really in a fairly exaggerated way. And we had one day last week where by just a few pennies, the select price was actually higher than the choice price. Now, in the last few days since then, it's widened back out to roughly a $4 choice select spread. But, you know, it seems to have more of a tendency for that weaker choice select spread this year, even though it's kind of a seasonal move, but a bit exaggerated.
And the ramifications of that for the market, folks are familiar with that, but you might put that in your own words.
Well, you know, I think there's a couple things going on. We've obviously had very good grading percentages, so we've got a large supply of choice relative to select, and at some point, that actually will weigh on the choice side of the market, weakening that choice box beef. The other thing is, if you look at wholesale cuts, you know, we still see relative weakness in the middle meats, which tends to be where the choice market is stronger in, and relative strength in the end meats, and then of course, if you look at the hamburger market, we've still got a very strong lean trimmings market as well. So that weakness in middle meats is really, I think, what's pushed this choice select spread probably down to the levels we've seen.
So will it continue to widen from that oddity you mentioned from last week where select actually was priced higher than choice?
You know, again, seasonally, we look for that choice select spread to widen back out in the fourth quarter, and I think, you know, again, it was a kind of a brief touchdown that was a bit lower than you would expect. I do expect it to widen back out, and even though, again, we don't think of the fourth quarter necessarily being a strong beef demand time period, there is more demand for some of the middle meats as we move into cooler weather. And, you know, when we get towards Christmas and New Year's, you know, it won't be too long till we'll be thinking about those prime rib kinds of demands and some of the other middle meats. So we will see some seasonal strength in those middle meats as we move into the fourth quarter.
All right. Well, one of the more positive aspects of the markets would be on the feeder cattle side, Darrell. We've seen relatively strong prices in September. You look at the Kansas auctions, again, for the most part, were to the upside last week. And this goes against the seasonal pattern, you'd say.
It does. If you look at, you know, whether you look in Kansas or Oklahoma, we're seeing these feeder cattle prices move a little bit higher, especially on the lighter weight cattle. I think that's directly a function of the good forage conditions we've got now, some beginnings of, and perhaps a little earlier than usual demand for stocker cattle for fall and winter grazing. Even though, you know, there are some areas starting to get a little bit dry, we've got awfully good forage conditions. You know, the seasonal pattern is for prices to decline from August into September and on into the seasonal low in October. But in the Southern Plains, it really is kind of a race in September. You can see a lot of variation from one year to the next, where in years of good early forage conditions, you may well see these prices move a little higher, or at least hold steady through September, because the demand is a little bit ahead of that fall run of calves. And we'll probably see a little seasonal weakness as we move into October, but perhaps not very much if these forage conditions and this stocker demand remain very strong through the fall.
One has to think, as the markets work, though, that there will be a cap on these feeders, at least in the respect that the fed cattle market is slogging along here and isn't up to the upside from the profitability standpoint on the feedlot cattle side.
Certainly, if you look at the fed cattle recently, the feeder cattle relative to the fed cattle, that would suggest that, yes, there's a limit. It's really taken a lot out of the potential margin at the feedlot level. So that's one factor. And again, the seasonal tendencies are still there and the seasonal pressure. We had a bigger calf crop this year. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we know the fall run of calves will have a relatively larger supply. So I suspect at the end we'll see that prevail with some seasonally lower prices. But again, that may not happen until we get into October, as opposed to, you know, the next 2 or 3 weeks.
All right. Well, Darrell, something else you're tracking: hay supplies, hay production, of course, key feed input for producers, and how that's trending will be of importance to the bottom line for a number of folks out there. What are you seeing there that catches your attention?
Well, you know, obviously, if you look on a national basis, it's a mixed bag. Obviously, we've got huge forage deficits in the northern plains because of the drought and the wildfires. And so that's one situation. Here in the southern plains, we've had, again, a very unusually wet, cool August and into September. Forage production has continued, and if you look at USDA's earlier estimates on a nationwide basis, they were looking at about a 1.6% decrease in total hay production in the country. For Kansas and Oklahoma, it's about the same. USDA projecting about an 8%, 8 to 8.5% decrease year over year in hay production. I'm beginning to wonder if maybe those won't get revised a little bit. I've done some traveling, at least in Oklahoma recently, and again, this late summer forage is pretty phenomenal. There's still a lot of hay production going on. I have a feeling when it's all said and done that the hay supplies will be somewhat bigger than USDA had earlier projected, just because of the unusual conditions we've had here in the late summer.
And obviously, for most producers, that would be a positive. That'll keep hay prices, if they need to secure hay supplies, well in hand, so that that will not put a strain on their bottom line.
That's absolutely right. You know, it's something that producers, in fact, again, anecdotally and talking to some producers, you know, many of them report they've got really an excess of forage right now, which, you know, some of them may be looking to sell some of that hay, but in any event, it won't be an issue for them in terms of the cost of wintering cattle this year.
Well, before we let you go, we need to remind folks that you will be one of the featured presenters this coming Thursday at the 2017 Beef Stocker Field Day here at Kansas State University. What message do you plan on bringing to that audience there?
Well, we're going to do an overview of the overall cattle market situation. We'll look through those market fundamentals, try to put a perspective on what we can look as we wrap up 2017 and move on into 2018. And additionally, given the theme or the name of this conference, I hope to include some discussion of the way the current market signals appear to play out for stocker producers, specifically looking at this fall and winter grazing period.
And once more, if any producer would have a question or simply want to visit with you about these markets, you are availing yourself come Thursday at the field day.
You bet. I'm looking forward to it.
And we're looking forward to having you here in Manhattan again this coming Thursday. Later on in the broadcast, we'll give you that full rundown of the Beef Stocker Field Day agenda coming up later this week. Daryl, thank you, as always, and looking forward to catching up with you here in Manhattan later on. Appreciate your time.
You're very welcome.
He is Daryl Peel, livestock economist out of Oklahoma State University, with his latest observations on the cattle markets and some of the factors of influence there. You are listening to Agriculture Today now, this break, after which we'll hand it over to Sarah Moyer and her guest as they'll talk about a current K-State beef producer survey that's being conducted that'll hopefully uncover important information on cover crop utilization for grazing purposes. That's next here on the K-State Radio Network.